You are welcome again to our teachings. This is our second message on our series, The House Churches. We had an introductory message, and this is our second message. In our introductory message on the house churches, we saw that the early church met in the temple courts and from house to house. We actually saw that in the temple courts, they were able to meet many of them. That's like a hall where we have made a larger number of people. And definitely in the temple court, they were able to interact with those who had not believed, but who had simply come to the temple to worship the God that they desire, but that they actually did not know. And therefore, the believers were able to interact with them in the temple courts, and they were able to win them to the Lord. We also saw that they met from house to house, and we saw that those who were won to the Lord in the temple courts and those that normally we win to the Lord in our larger crowd, in the bigger meeting, we take them into the homes and where we disciple them, we build them at more personal level. So we saw that this house to house, where the believers meet in a home, in smaller number, in order to get those who have been won to the Lord grounded in the faith, is actually what the house churches are. The most important element of the house church, which if it is missing, it is not possible to build the people, it is not possible to disciple the people, it is not possible to actually serve God together with the people, is relationship. And that's why today we are handling this most essential element of the house church, that is true fellowship, the strength of the house churches. True fellowship. In the early church, they met together to pray. In the early church, they met together to break bread. In the early church, they met together to fellowship with one another, and they were able to be able to build people, because there was that element of fellowship. So the most essential element of the house church that permits this effective discipleship of the saints is the right relationship. And that right relationship that overflows from loving hearts, hearts that are totally in love with God and in love with one another. When the believers love God and love one another and a relationship is established, there's an overflow of this relationship so that hearts are touching hearts. And that is what true fellowship is all about. A relationship with God and then a relationship with one another, so that out of that love relationship, there is this love flowing out from one believer's heart to touch the other. Like in any true family, it is this consciousness that you belong. This relationship takes place because there's a consciousness that you belong. It is this consciousness that you are loved. It is this consciousness that you are needed, that you are important, that you have a future in this family, that makes any person to actually remain in any family, irrespective of the difficulty they may be going through. The consciousness that this is where I belong, a sense of belonging, a sense of usefulness, a sense that this is my home, this is where I belong. I don't belong anywhere. This is my home, and I am loved here. Irrespective of what my life may be, this is my home. So just as in a family is defined as this relationship between two people, two, three people, and then tied to a root somewhere, in many cases, an ancestral root somewhere, so too does our Christian relationship defined. So a family is not just people who meet together under a building, who stay under a roof. A family is these people, it may be within under the roof, but they are bound together. So just as a family is defined as people, is not defined as people under a roof, but a group of people with one father, so too our Christian relationship. We are united by one Lord, and we are united by one purpose. United by one Lord, united by one purpose. When people come together, having the same conviction and the same affiliation with one, with no one holding anything in their heart against one another, fellowship will be established. People have come together, the same conviction, the same attachment, and then the same purpose for which they are living. And then there is nothing in somebody's heart against one another. There will be fellowship. This is what is expected of the house churches. People come together, one affiliation. People come together, one conviction. People come together, one Lord to whom everybody is related, a vertical relationship with one Lord, a horizontal relationship with one another, and then there is nothing in somebody's heart against one another. And the house church is actually for that. That's one of the main pillars of the house churches, a right relationship, and this right relationship will flow out in fellowship. So the overflow of hearts that love the Lord in a supreme way and that loved one another, living for a common purpose, is what constitutes true fellowship. The overflow of hearts towards the Lord, towards one another, and living for one purpose. God ordained it that two people welded together and welded to Him, and living with a common purpose, begin to multiply. Welded to Him, welded to one another, and living for a common purpose. And that is actually what the marital relationship is all about. There's a weldedness for a common purpose. And then after a time, they begin to multiply. And that multiplication will lead to them begin to subdue. So in the house churches, there is this weldedness to the Lord, weldedness to one another. There is this intimate relationship so that hearts flow towards one another. And as a result of this overflow of heart towards one another, after a time, whether you are dealing with two or three, four or five, very soon there is multiplication. So fellowship is critical as a foundation for any house church. Like the Bible says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? It is not possible for two people to begin to walk together. If that fellowship is not there, many things will be misinterpreted. If you want to build somebody with that fellowship, things will be misinterpreted. If you want to serve with somebody with that fellowship, it cannot work. It starts with the right relationship that flows to intimacy, producing fellowship. And that fellowship will lead to two or three people begin to multiply. With that heart released to flow towards one another, bringing people to actually be together under the same roof. If this heart cannot flow towards one another, to bring two or three people to meet under the same roof, 5 people, 10 people, 20 people, and then saying that they are actually having one meeting or the other, they will only end up wounding one another. And it will end up in very painful experiences. And that is what is happening in many places where people are gathered together, but because there is no trust, because there is no faith in one another, because the heart are not released towards one another. When you come closer to one another, you will know one another. But knowledge that does not spring from a heart that loves one another, you will use that knowledge against someone and you will end up wounding a person. When you come close to one another, the person to whom you come close will become very open to you. He will let you know everything about him or her. And the question will be, if you don't love that person, what will you use that knowledge for? So when a group of people succeed to establish a true family, call a house church a true family, because as we saw in one of our teaching, the church is not a building. The church is actually this people of God call out from a family that they had the devil as a father, and then call out now to the family that had God himself as a father, a common relationship with God and a relationship with one another. When people have succeeded to establish this relationship and then they begin to fellowship together under one roof, they will actually constitute this house church. And when it is like that, those who come will be able to make the same confession that David was able to make. If you have your Bible open with us, David was able to make it in Psalms chapter 122, verse 1. In Psalm 122, verse 1, what did David say? Open your Bible there. David said, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. He said, I was glad. He said, my heart rejoiced. I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. When true fellowship, when true relationship is existing, people will be glad to go to the house of the Lord. People will be glad to go for meetings. But when there are such relationship is not existing, people will not be glad. Meetings becomes a burden. Meeting become something scaring to people. But David said, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. When the gathering of believers together is not a delight, when people don't rejoice, when they say, let us go to the house of the Lord, let us go and meet together, then there is a religious system that has been established. It is not a family. When people are not delighted, when an opportunity is coming for them to meet together, it means that something is wrong in relationship somewhere. True fellowship is not taking place. If you open with us again to Psalms 84, if you open with us Psalms 84, we read verse 3 and 4. David said, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a net for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. How lovely, how happy are those who live in your house. That is what it means when this true fellowship has been established. Oh, people are longing. People are excited to come together. People are happy to meet with one another. And in verse 10, the same chapter, David said, better is one day in your court than a thousand elsewhere. Then he said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. What is this thing that makes somebody to be able to say, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord? I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. What is it that also makes some people that when it is time to go to the house of the Lord, some people feel it as it is painful to them? What is the problem? What is it that makes a man to say, "Bet one day in God's house is better than 1,000 elsewhere"? Why is it that people go where where they ought to be fellowshipping one another, and then they don't even want to be there? They are longing to go somewhere again where they call fellowship, maybe with their old classmates, fellowship with their clanmates, etc. What is lacking? The real issue is fellowship. True fellowship may be lacking. True fellowship. That makes a person to say, "I was glad when they say, let us go to the house of the Lord." That makes a person to say, "One day in God's house is more than 1,000 elsewhere." One day, that makes a person to say, "Oh, I would rather be a doorkeeper in God's house." So the foundation of the real house church is this intimate relationship with one another that flows out to people's heart, release to begin to touch other people's heart, so that when somebody misses a meeting of believers, he starts regretting because he knows he has missed something. But for some people, in some places, when somebody misses a meeting, there is actually nothing that he has missed. It is this family unit established where true love is witnessed and where hearts are flowing towards one another in true fellowship that makes people want to come together. And when they come together, they don't want to separate. This heart release, loving hearts flowing towards one another, it makes people want to come together. They know they are loved. They know they are needed. They know that is their family. They know they belong. When they long to come, they are always wishing, "When is the next moment I will meet with my brothers?" Oh, they long. It is the same type of relationship that David had with God. He said, "My heart yearns." His heart was longing. He said, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so does my heart pant after you, O God." And he said, "When shall I go to meet with my God?" That's the same thing that takes place when true fellowship is established between believers in a house church setting. They are always longing. They are always longing. "When shall I go to meet with my brethren?" Their hearts are longing. And when they finally go and they meet with their brethren, they are so excited that they don't want to separate. Is that the case in a place where you are that you call a house church? It's important to examine, to know, are we just having some religious meetings where people just want to meet to fulfill all righteousness? David again said in Psalms 133, if you open with us, Psalms 133, listen to what David said. He's talking about fellowship. From verse 1, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people, when believers, brethren, they dwell together, they live together in unity." He said it is like the precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestowed his blessing, even life forevermore. This welded family called the house church, called the church. Oh, he said, how wonderful, how pleasant when brethren dwell together. This united heart, this loving heart, this welded heart, this heart that flows towards one another. He said it is like oil, precious oil poured upon the head. And that's what anointing is. When the people of God are welded and then they begin to meet together, and they can fellowship with one another. Fellowshipping not just with some external word, spoken word, but true heart touching one another. This intercourse with one another, depth, intercourse with God, and this deep heart, heart-to-heart encounter, something begin to take place. The believer become anointed. The anointing of God, the power of God will come upon the believers. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. The Bible says the believer, they were together in one accord. And because they were together in one accord, the Spirit of God came upon them. So, like we see here, he said, for there the Lord bestows his blessing. In the house churches, when this fellowship is truly taking place, and we said fellowship means the heart released towards God, released towards one another, and heart that have nothing against one another, they begin to touch one another's heart, the blessings of God, the anointing of God, and there will be even life forevermore. And then that house church become the center of life. You can also gather people, and you have gathered them to the center of death, because you gather people, this one is bitter towards this one is unforgiving towards this one, no relationship with one another, this one cannot look at this direction because he knows he is guilty towards this one, guilty towards God, guilty towards one another. That is called the center of death. You may start with 100 people, you may end up, and it may only be by chance that you end up with 5, because there is no life. The blessings of God is not there. The anointing of God is not there, because where brethren are together, welded together, fellowshipping, touching one another's heart, something will begin to happen. The power of God will come down upon such a meeting of believers. So David said, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of God. David said, it is, oh, one day, oh Lord, in your house is better than 1,000 somewhere else. David said, how pleasant, how wonderful it is when believers dwell together in love, in unity, the anointing of God, the oil of God, the blessing of God, and then the abundant life. That's why house churches are established. So when this worldedness takes place, this depth of fellowship, this abundant life begin to flow in the house churches, we have the right building blocks for the local church. Because the local church, the building blocks or the pillars of the local church are these house churches where there is abundant life existing. These house churches where believers are welded, fellowshipping with one another. When you bring this group, 50 here, fellowshipping with one another, another 50 there, another 50, and you finally bring them together, even if there are 10,000, you will still have 10,000 people who are welded together, and they form the temple of God. They form the building of God. They form the greater family of God in that locality called the local church. So healthy house churches is the reason why local churches will grow and in number and soon conquer any locality where they are found. One of the reasons why we have house churches is to have this smaller number to ensure that the right relationship is existing between the members. So that even if you have 10,000 believers, and this 10,000 believer divided into group of 50-50, it will be 200 groups. And each of these 200 groups, every member is relating right with one another. When you bring this 200 group together, it is 10,000 people that are relating right with one another. You have a united force in a place, not a hypocritical movement where 1,000 people, you don't know who is thinking what about who. So the house church is the place for fellowship. And as we said, fellowship is this loving heart flowing out towards one another. And when these hearts are flowing out towards one another, a number of things begin to take place. When you have hearts that are able to flow towards one another, there are a number of things that will begin to take place. And those are the blessings of a house church that knows true fellowship. Number one, there will be ministry. How does God minister to his people? God flows through his instrument, the human instrument. And the human instrument are these believers. And for God to flow through any believer, that to touch another believer, there must equally be the flow of that believer's heart towards those that God wants to use him to touch their life. When the brethren meet together, believers meet together in the house churches, number one, as this true fellowship has been established, there will be ministry taking place. God will begin to move through the believers to touch the other believers. And because God knows what the need of each believer is, and God knows which believer among them is most appropriate to be used by him to touch those needs, to touch those believers who have those needs. But if God wants to pass through you as an individual, but your relationship with him is blocked already, or your relationship with your fellow believer is blocked already, you cannot be used by God in order to minister to your fellow believers. So when the believers come together in that house church setting and true fellowship is going on, there will be ministry carried out. Let's look at it from the Bible. If you have your Bible again, open your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. So when the believers come together and they are able to fellowship with one another, something begins to happen. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other. So they are able to minister to one another, encourage one another. Paul said, encourage one another. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another. There will be the ministry of building one another. There will be the ministry of encouraging one another. So that among those group, that group of believers, there will be nobody who will be discouraged, because the presence of this believer will suddenly bring ministry to you, the ministry of encouragement. And Paul said about the Thessalonian brethren, said, therefore, encourage one another and build each other, just as in fact we were doing. They were already doing it. They were already doing it. They were encouraging one another. They were building one another. The presence of the Lord. And because it is after the Lord building his people, God will pass through you if your heart is right towards him and right towards your fellow believer. Again, in the book, in Colossians chapter 3, open your Bible again to Colossians chapter 3, we'll read verse 15 and 16. We are saying that when the believers meet together, this house church meeting together, if true fellowship is going on, there will be ministry automatically. You don't tell yourself, I'm going to minister. You will be you are already in the hand of the Lord. The Spirit of God will flow through you. The Spirit of God will flow through you and touch somebody, because you are in touch with him and you are in touch with another person. His Spirit flow through you, building somebody, encouraging somebody, strengthening someone. Colossians chapter 3. So let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as member of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful.
Verse 16 says, let the message of Christ let it dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, through hymns, through spiritual song, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. He said that this word of God dwelling richly in you, you are able to teach, you are able to admonish one another, you are able to teach with all wisdom, you will use the psalms, you use hymns, you use spiritual songs, and that is normally what happens when believers come together and they have a right relationship with God and the right relationship with one another. It may just be that one verse in the Bible that you read that one day somebody, even 50 years after, somebody will be able to say, because I heard that, this is what happened to my life. The word of God dwelling richly in you, and because of that, you are able to minister. So the house church is the place of believers ministering to one another. Believers are ministering to one another. Paul said the same thing in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. He says, said to the Ephesians, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music in your heart to the Lord. So there is music in your heart, then you are speaking to one another. Music to the Lord, speaking to one another in hymns, spiritual songs, etc. So when true fellowship takes place, ministry will flow out in hymns, in songs, in words of encouragement. The believers become instrument of encouragement towards one another. This is what the house churches are meant to be. The house churches are center of ministry, where every believer is an instrument in God's hand to minister to other believers. It is not a place where one person stands in front and to give render ministry and thousands of people stand before him to receive ministry. In the house church, my relationship with God and my relationship with other believers, believers mean God flows through me and touching. That's what the Bible says, where two or three are gathered in his name, he is in their midst. He is in their midst. Normally he is in me, but when I come together with two or three believers, he is now in our midst. He begin to use me to touch this one, will use you to touch another person. So the house churches are places of ministry. The house churches are equally, as believers come together, we have said places of ministry. If you look at Galatians chapter 6, it is equally places where we, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Carry each other's burden, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Believers have many diverse burdens. Your brother may be carrying a heavy weight. He may not even have had anybody and he even to share with. But this meeting of believers, fellowshipping with God, fellowshipping with one another, touching God, touching one another, it becomes a place that when we come, we carry one another's burden. Sometimes the person may share, oh, this is what I am going through. These 20, 30 or more people, they will lift up that burden to the Lord. So the house churches become a place where burdens, places where burdens are carried to the Lord. And your brother who came weighed down, and some even so rejected, when they come, they go back without burdens, because they met other believers. So the coming together of believers in a home will lead to the carrying of one another's burden. The house churches is equally this place where you come to sharpen one another. Solomon says it in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 7. He said, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. sharpening one another. As you serve the Lord, your life may have become blunt. Your conscience may even reach a point where you have become blunt. But as you come together, you quicken your consciences. You sharpen one another. And if you are sharpened, you become more effective. Those the house churches, as we meet together, we are able to make one another become more effective in the hands of the Lord. A familiar verse in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. The house church is equally the place to encourage one another. We have said that before. We meet together because we fellowship with the Lord and fellowshipping one another. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. If you open there, we'll help you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. It says, let us not give up the habit of meeting together. As some, let's not give up this habit of meeting together, as some are already doing. Do not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So the house church, a place to meet, because we are in fellowship. So this fellowship will lead to us encouraging one another. And this fellowship, we see which day approaching, the day when the Lord will return. We, as we meet together, we encourage one another and we prepare one another for the soon return of the Lord. So fellowship will help me to encourage my brother, and fellowship will help my brother to encourage me. We begin to encourage one another, and we begin to prepare one another for the soon return of the Lord. We will look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, the importance of these house churches. Open your Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. We'll look at a number of things from there. When this fellowship is existing, what begins to take place? So remember, we are saying one of the most essential elements of the house churches is this fellowship. And fellowship, which is the overflow of relationship, the overflow of your love relationship towards one another, beginning to touch the life of one another. From verse 9 to 12, Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12, it says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. Why will you not just be alone? No, the Bible says two are better than one. When two or three meet together, it is better than you being in your room alone. You have a better reward, a good return for your labor. There's the multiplicative effect. That's what the Bible says. One shall chase 1,000, two shall chase 10,000. Just the two of you meeting together, the three of you, when you lift up your hand and begin to pray, there's power release. The impact of three people praying, 10 people praying, is far greater than when one person alone is praying. In verse 10, it says, if either of them falls down, one can help the other up. So when this fellowship is existing, when this fellowship has been released, and then believers are truly fellowshipping one another, if one of them falls, he will be lifted up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. So the house churches will help us to restore one another, to lift up our brothers that have fallen. But if you are alone, who will lift you up? Also, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm to alone? This power to take away coldness, this power to take away discouragement, when you begin to become cold in your spirit because of the house church, you will become, your fire will be rekindled. And in verse 12, it says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. two people, three people, one more of 10, one more of when you people are 20, when you are alone, you can be overpowered. But in this setting of the house church, as you are meeting with other believers, fellowshipping with other believers, and it does not only take place when you are having meetings. By the time you interact, fellowship with your brother, even when your brother is away, you are still carrying your brother on your heart. If the devil is about to attack your brother anywhere, God will communicate it to you. Your brother may not even know what the devil is planning, but you begin to intercede for him, and very soon he is rescued. And the last part of that verse 12, we say, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Oh, the power of the house church, the fact that this, when you are alone, you can easily be broken. But when there are a number of you welded together in this intimate fellowship, yes, you will go very far. United together, there is nothing that you cannot accomplish. That's the blessing of the house church, the multiplicative effect, the encouraging of one another. As we fellowship, we minister to one another, we carry one another's burden, we are able to teach one another. God will begin to pass through you to speak to your brother. There is nothing that believers who are encouraged cannot do. And there are many gifted believers. Just because of the slightest problem in their life, when they are alone, Satan begins to tell them, you are useless, you are finished, etc. But by just coming to together as you fellowship with another believer, even just the testimony of a believer will tell you that, look, whatever you are going through is too small. Someone will tell you what he went through and how God rescued him. The testimony of another believer will become the reason why you tell yourself, I am going to face the devil. As you fellowship with one another, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 15. If you just open your Bible to Romans chapter 15, we are actually talking about the impact of us fellowshipping with one another. And we are not just talking about meeting together, because enemies can meet under the same roof. Enemy can sleep even on the same bed. We are talking about that heart, that are touching heart, that makes you to want to carry your brother's burden, that makes you to want to lift up your discouraged brother, that makes you to want to lift up this your fallen brother, so that even if your brother has fallen into sin, it is not a matter for you to be spreading all over and then using it against your brother. Then it is a matter for you to say, it is what my brother is going through is equally my own problem. You'll be able to lift up your brother. In Romans chapter 15, verse 1, what does the Bible say? We who are strong ought to bear with the fallings of the weak and not to please ourselves. When this true fellowship is existing, then the weak believers will be carried along. The strong will carry the weak. The strong don't just concentrate on them. Just like in any family, you will see that almost every member of the home will concentrate on that baby or concentrate on that child who may be having an abnormality. The weak will be carried along because of this intimate fellowship with one another. The house church is not just a place of meeting. It is a place of fellowship. It's a place of love. It's a place where believers are cared for. And because people know they are cared for, they are loved. People know they belong. People know, oh, that is their future is there. People know, this is my family. They will have new confidence to move along in life. The Apostle John, how does this fellowship take place, and what are the hindrances to this fellowship? We need to get a bit as we round up. How does this fellowship that we are talking about, how does it take place? Open your Bible with us, the book of 1 John chapter 1. The book of 1 John chapter 1. Verse 1 to 7. John said that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it, we testify to it, and we proclaim it to you, that the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Listen to what verse 3 says. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And it says our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That which we have seen, that which we have heard. So the apostle said, our fellowship is with the Father. Our fellowship is with Jesus. And this fellowship actually comes as God, what God has done in our life, what God has told us, our encounters with the Lord, we proclaim it, we share it with other believers. It is this sharing. Anybody who is not willing to share cannot fellowship with other believers. The testimony, what is the transaction? What is happening between you and God? John said, what we have seen, what we have heard. You did not see, you did not hear. They were the ones who were there. He said, we are telling you now so that you may equally fellowship with us. So what God does in your life, what God has revealed to you, as you begin to share it with other believers, you are actually inviting them to fellowship with you and to fellowship with the Lord. So when a person is so selfish that whatever God tells him, when he attends the believers meeting, he just keeps quiet. He cannot share a testimony. He cannot share a song. He cannot share a revelation. He cannot share even what God is doing in his life. Such a person cannot truly fellowship with other believers. And he cannot also fellowship with the Lord, because John said our fellowship is with the Lord, the Father, with his Son, and we are sharing so that you may join in that fellowship. And John says, we write this to make our joy complete. That's what John said. He said, we are sharing this to make our joy complete. One of the impact when you are sharing, when you begin to minister, is that you receive ministry equally and your spirit is lifted up. Don't wait to receive ministry from people. Most of the time, you receive your own ministry by ministering. Don't wait to be blessed by people. Most of the time, you receive your blessing. That's what the Bible says. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Begin to give out. Begin to share a song. Begin to share a testimony. So, as we share what God is doing in our lives, we release our hearts to fellowship, to enter into fellowship. As we share our meal, as we share our blessing, as we share the revelation, as we share our encounters with God, and as we share our problems, and as we share our trials, so that whatever you are going through, as you share it with one another, you are actually entering into fellowship with the other believers. What did John again say from verse 5? Because there are hindrances to this fellowship we are talking about. Verse 5 says, this is the message we heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. He says, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. No one who is living in sin can actually say that he can know this fellowship we are talking about. From the moment you give yourself to begin to live in sin, even you, if you attend the meeting of these believers who are in fellowship with one another, your sin has excommunicated you already from the fellowship of believers. So there is a barrier to this fellowship. Most of the time, you can pick it. Where a believer comes, it's as if he does not belong. He's so cold. He's so withdrawn. It is not just an error. It is not because he's not used to that place. Wherever you go, if it is truly the body of Christ, the Spirit of God within you will begin to touch the Spirit of God in the other believers. And your whole being is released. But when you are just there withdrawn, sad, cautious, it may mean that there is some sin in your life. Either you have a broken relationship with God or you have a broken relationship with the other believers who are there. The Apostle John said, God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. He said, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, walk in sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. But listen to what he said in verse 7. He said, but if we walk in the light, what does it mean walking in the light? It just means that there is nothing on my heart that I'm hiding in my relationship with God, or something that I'm holding against a believer. Open your heart, flow out and share. If you have a problem with a believer, tell the believer you have a problem with him. You are not happy, share. Somebody has wronged you, share it. If you have wronged somebody, repent. Walking in the light. He said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, it is this walking in the light where you have nothing on your heart against your fellow believer, or you have not done anything wrong to your fellow believers, or there's nothing that you have against, God has against you that you have not put right, you will know this fellowship. But he said the blessing of it is the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all sin. There are certain sins that you have committed that you don't even know. In right fellowship with God, walking in the light, the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from those sins that you have committed and that you do not know. So a house church that is focused on the Lord, we have said this house church, believers are in fellowship with one another, and that there are hindrances to this fellowship. If you put, make sure that there's nothing on your heart against God, or God has nothing on his heart against you. Make sure that there's nothing on your heart against any believer or anybody anywhere. Just make sure that your conscience is clean before God. Clear before God, you will know very deep fellowship. A house church that is focused on the believers having fellowship with God and with one another, we end up producing a group of believers that know intimacy with God and intimacy with one another. There will know worldliness, a good relationship with God, a good relationship with one another. And how does that affect God? The prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 17, verse 20 to 23 will be answered. Because the Lord Jesus Christ prayed for the church. Open your Bible. Just open your Bible to that John chapter 17. Listen to the prayer of the Lord Jesus. He said, from verse 20, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. That they may be one. Jesus said, as I am in you, Father, and you are in me, may they also be in us. Just imagine that this fellowship will lead to you entering into this depth of fellowship with God, so that God in you, you in God, and then what is the impact? The impact is that the world will believe that Jesus was sent by God. Fellowship of believers
in this house church setting, fellowship of believers, this communion of believers, this weldedness of believers, we bring the believers to this position where the believers have become one with one another, one with the Lord, and the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, the oneness of believers become a reality, and then the weldedness of believers and the Lord a reality, and then the impact of the believers' life in world conquest, conquering multitude for the Lord will be accomplished. So it is actually the believers that are blocking the unbelievers from believing. All their division, all the misunderstanding, all the problem people have, this one has problem against this other one, so that finally there are barriers. And those barriers, we mean that God cannot flow. The Spirit of God cannot flow through you to be able to touch the world. Because there are, like Jesus said, my prayer is not just for them alone, but also for those who will believe through their message. How many people will believe through our message because we are welded, because we know this fellowship? Look at how the world is being blocked because believers don't know true fellowship with one another. A lot of misunderstanding, a lot of suspicion here and there. May we be people who will stand with one another, in fellowship with one another, and ensure that this prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ is answered. And may the world truly see that we are one, and very soon may the whole world come to know the Lord. He says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciple, if you have love for one another. This love for one another, this welded heart, this power, the power to forgive, the power to believe in your brother, the power to be one in your with your brother, is the weapon that the Lord has given to us. It is the power with which we conquer the world, because love will always conquer. This is the weapon, yes, the weapon of love that God has given to us so that we may conquer the world. And in our house church setting, we are laboring to ensure that we have, whether it's 20 believers, 50 believers, they are one. And then that power is released, that weapon of love is released, and the world will be conquered. May we begin to have such level of fellowship in our house churches, among us in the house churches, and then the weapon released to conquer the world. It is not just the gifted, it is this thing, oh, this love God has poured in our heart, released through fellowship, will become a weapon that God will use, and there is nobody that will resist that weapon, the weapon of love. Through fellowship with one another, through the house churches, we can conquer the world. It may just be that you are one house church where you are. There may just be 5 of you. There may just be 10 of you. Why don't you get welded with one another? You will soon be surprised that the town where you are now is conquered for the Lord, because you started 2 of you, 1, 10 of you, 1, and very soon God will use you to conquer the whole town, the whole nation, and spread and conquer other nations. May God bless you.